A closer look now at gentrification. A wave of new residents and renovated homes has revitalized many city neighborhoods, but it's also raised rents and created other problems for people who have lived in those neighborhoods for years. Jason DeBruin of member station WUNC looks at what's happening in Raleigh, North Carolina.
It's a nice sunny day, and Wanda Morgan is busy sweeping off her front porch in Raleigh, North Carolina. The brick on her house and front walkway has the kind of weathered look that tells you the house isn't new, but was built sturdy.
I've lived here since 1959 when I was born. My mother and father built this house, I think, around 1955.
Morgan moved back to the house near Chavis Park in Raleigh to care for her mother, who is now in her 90s. Her block is one of scores across South and East Raleigh to see dramatic change in the past half decade. Not 50 yards to her right, two much larger houses are under construction. Morgan says she doesn't yet know these new homeowners, but she has seen what other new neighbors have done when they settle in.
They also, when they buy these homes, they border them off. They put, they call, privacy fences. So that means we're not coming out to you, the neighbors, and the neighbors are not coming in to us.
East and South Raleigh have a long history of black homeownership. But in the past decade, that has started to change. In the 14 census tracts to the east and south of downtown Raleigh, the white population has increased by a whopping 82% from 2010 to 2017. During that same time, the non-white population has increased by just 5%.
It's been rampant and rapid. It went from zero to 150. It didn't happen with one or two houses.
Yvonne Holly is a state representative in the North Carolina General Assembly. She's also a resident in one of the most prominent historically black neighborhoods in Raleigh, and one of the first to gentrify. Now, Holly isn't against all gentrification. She believes some new blood is good, if it brings investment and revitalization.
And not to say that a certain part of revitalization of the community isn't warranted. It's come join us, don't come take it over. And make sure that some of the people who are here can stay. And that the people who are being displaced have a decent place to go and housing to live in.
Holly says the problems start when wealthier newcomers look to take over.
Being poor is a crime. It's not a crime, but it's visualized as being a crime. So if you're poor, you're not worthy of being my neighbor. But they could be some of the best people in the world.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Then we got two bedrooms, wasn't there?
Stormy Bova and Tommy Pelzer are neighbors who live in a housing complex in the Bragg Street area of Raleigh. Bova has lived there longer than any of the other residents and acts sort of like the mayor of the complex. She doesn't want to leave.
And I'm just very comfortable. And if there's any trouble, I go ahead and try to help them, help my landlord get it straightened out. You know, help people out.
But she's reading the tea leaves. Just one block over, brand new houses have popped up.
And I'm scared that they're going to push us out next.
Pelzer agrees.
Yes, I am. I'm worried about where the next place that I'm going to have to go, or we all have to go.
Pelzer is worried that would likely mean only one place left for them to go.
In the streets. We're getting pushed out, or either way, bulldozed out.
Bova and Pelzer are renters, so what could happen to them is simple, if stark, in economic terms. As neighborhoods gentrify, it raises all property values, and landlords see an opportunity to raise rent or sell their property for a hefty profit. Jesse McCoy is a lecturing fellow at Duke University's Law School and supervising attorney of the Duke Law Civil Justice Clinic.
And essentially, we put people in a situation where the only thing that they can do is either become homeless, bunk up with some other family member and live in their house while they try to figure things out, or move out of our locale altogether.
Fears of being forced out are real for Bova and Pelzer, and even for homeowners like Wanda Morgan. But they also recognize the benefits gentrification can bring. For Morgan, it's the abandoned or dilapidated houses that are going away. The neighborhood looks better.
I see two sides to it. I see the improvement of the community, and I like diversity. I don't have a problem with diversity. Just as long as, you know, it's done in a respectful way and you're not trying to, I guess, downplay people or try to push them out where they don't have anywhere to go.
Local governments in North Carolina have limited options in preventing the worst elements of gentrification. State lawmakers made it illegal for cities to require developers to include affordable housing, and zoning ordinances make it difficult to subdivide parcels. But understanding the human impacts and advanced planning is crucial, says McCoy.
Right, like everybody wants to get money, that we forget how to be human, and we forget that everybody needs a place to stay. Housing is not, oh, I want a house. Housing is, we need a house.
For Here and Now, I'm Jason DeBruin in Raleigh, North Carolina.